Hey everyone, welcome to M2F Story. Today I am going to share with you Forced Feminize by Wife Part 2, written by M2F Story. So if you are new to the channel, then please consider subscribing. And check out my Patreon, patreon.com/M2F Story. The next weekend, Betty decided it was time for another public outing, but this time the stakes were higher. They returned to the mall. But now Betty had a plan to deepen Gary's understanding and his humility. Dressed again as Missy, he was guided through the crowds, eyes cast down, hands clasped nervously in front of him. Betty's tone was calm but firm. Today you will try to talk to people politely, respectfully. You will listen and respond kindly. Gary's heart pounded at the thought. Social interactions had always been a battlefield for him. Places to assert dominance or retreat into silence. Now he had to navigate them gently, carefully. Their first stop was a small bookstore. Betty approached the clerk with a bright smile while Gary lingered behind. Then Betty nodded toward Gary. Missy, why don't you ask about the new releases? Swallowing hard, Gary stepped forward, voice quiet but clear. Excuse me, do you have any books on empathy or personal growth? The clerk smiled warmly. Sure, we just got some in, right this way. As he followed, Gary felt a flicker of something unexpected, a small sense of accomplishment at making a simple, polite request. Over the next hour, Betty guided him through small interactions, ordering coffee, asking for directions, thanking store clerks each time, encouraging patience and kindness. The busy mall was a whirlwind of noise and movement, but Gary began to notice things he never had before. The smiles of strangers, the way a gentle word could brighten someone's day. But back at home, Gary's internal struggle deepened. Alone in his room, he stared at his reflection, the soft curls, the gentle eyes, the lips that now held a hint of pink gloss. Is this really me? He wondered, the old fire flickering but unable to burn through the confusion. He was caught between two worlds, the man he was and the person he was becoming. Sometimes he felt angry and trapped. Other times, he felt oddly free from the burdens of his old ego. He journaled quietly in secret, a habit Millie and Betty had encouraged, hoping to track his progress. Today, I smiled at a stranger. It felt strange, but good. I still hate this name. But Missy listens more than Gary ever did. Maybe there's something here I don't understand yet. One evening, Betty and Millie sat down with Gary for a heart-to-heart. No hypnosis, no commands, just honest conversation. Gary, Betty said softly, we know this is hard, but we do this because we love you. Millie nodded. You've spent so long living one way, it's difficult to change, but we believe in you. Gary looked between them, tears threatening. I don't want to lose myself. You won't, Betty reassured. You're becoming a better version, someone who values others, especially women. For the first time in a long time, Gary felt something thaw inside a flicker of hope. Of understanding. Missy's journey was just beginning. There would be setbacks and struggles, moments of doubt and frustration. But beneath it all, a new foundation was taking shape built on empathy, respect, and humility. Gary wasn't the same man anymore, but maybe, just maybe, that was a good thing. The morning sunlight trickled through the nursery curtains, soft and pink, bathing the room in a warmth that contrasted sharply with Gary's cold awareness of his new life. It was no dream. He lay there helpless, humiliated, and thoroughly feminized. The silky onesie clung to his body, the thick padding between his legs a constant reminder that control bodily or otherwise was no longer his to claim. He blinked against the light, instinctively trying to pull the covers higher, but the mittens on his hands made gripping anything impossible. Everything around him was childlike, pastel, gentle, and inescapably feminine. Betty entered the room with her usual composed grace, holding a small tablet and a cup of tea. Her eyes swept over Missy with an almost maternal satisfaction. Good morning, sunshine, she said with a serene smile. Sleep well? Missy turned her head away, saying nothing. But Betty sat down beside her on the edge of the crib, a real crib, with wooden bars and a mobile hanging above. I see you're still resisting, Missy, she said. But resistance is just another phase of acceptance. We all pass through it. She tapped the tablet and played back a short recording Gary's voice from days earlier, whimpering and giggling under hypnotic suggestion, calling himself Missy, in a soft, helpless lisp. Missy's cheeks burned red with shame. "Why are you doing this?" Missy finally managed, her voice cracking. "Isn't this too far?" Betty looked at her for a long moment. "Too far? You mean like the years I couldn't wear a dress in my own house because it made you uncomfortable? Like your lectures about how real women shouldn't waste time on makeup or care about their figure? Or when you told my mother, your mother-in-law, that her voice was too shrill and she should speak less?" Missy was quiet. "You inherited that toxic masculine ego from your father, Missy," Betty said softly. "And we let it go on too long. But now we're balancing the scales." The door opened and Millie Betty's mother, Missy's mother-in-law, walked in with calm authority. She carried a folded outfit and a hairbrush. "Time to start the day, darling. We've got a trip planned." Betty turned toward her mother with a glimmer in her eyes. "Perfect timing. Today, Missy's going on her first outing." Missy's eyes widened. "Outing? To the shopping mall," Millie said with a nod. "Just a few errands, a little public exposure to help settle your new role." "No, no, you can't," Missy cried, struggling to sit up. "Please, not outside. People will see me." Betty crouched beside her, brushing a stray strand of curled hair from her cheek. "Exactly. People will see you and you'll survive. Humility grows in the spotlight, Missy. That's something you need to learn." Within the hour, Missy had been cleaned, dressed, and made up with the precision of a mother preparing a young daughter for her birthday. She was wearing a knee-length floral dress, white ankle socks with lace trim and patent leather shoes. Her face was softened with subtle but effective makeup, lip gloss, blush, light mascara, and her hair styled into loose curls with a bright pink headband. "I feel ridiculous," she muttered, her voice strained. "You look beautiful," Millie said, straightening the hem of the dress. "Now purse on your shoulder and let's go. You'll walk between us." The trip to the mall was nothing short of a sensory overload. Missy couldn't help noticing the glances she got, some confused, others amused, and a few downright sympathetic. She wanted to disappear into the floor. But there she was, paraded through the corridors like a pageant contestant, Millie and Betty gently guiding her from store to store. The first stop was a boutique specializing in women's fashion. A friendly sales associate greeted them, her eyes briefly flitting over Missy with curiosity before settling into her professional cheer. "Shopping for the young lady today?" she asked. Betty smiled. "Yes, something soft and feminine. She's starting a new chapter." "Oh, how exciting. First job, first date?" "Not quite," Millie said with a smile. "A rebirth, you might say." Missy flushed hot and stood frozen as the women chatted and picked out blouses, skirts, and lingerie. In the changing room, Missy was guided through trying on each piece, with Betty and Millie offering gentle critique. "You hold yourself too stiffly," Betty said, adjusting Missy's posture in the mirror. "Try to let go a bit. Think gentle. Think graceful." Missy mumbled under her breath, but complied. Each moment chipped away at the edges of her resistance. It was subtle, psychological. The way she was praised when she moved delicately, the soft affirmations when she nodded politely at clerks or smiled at strangers. The women around her didn't sneer or scorn her, they encouraged her, rewarded her for her softness. For once, Gary's rigid dominance had no value. In this new world, Missy's submission was her only currency. By the time they stopped at a cafe for tea and cake, Missy was exhausted. She sipped from her cup cautiously, careful not to smudge her lipstick. Millie placed a hand gently on her shoulder. "You did well today," she said. "Proud of you." Missy blinked at her, unsure if she should feel warmth or dread from that praise. She only nodded silently. Back at home, Missy was ushered back into the nursery and gently undressed. The dress went on a hanger. Her undergarments were folded and placed in a drawer labeled Missy's Things. She stood in her slip, stunned by how natural it felt to be fussed over. Then came the surprise. "I think it's time for a visit from Helen," Betty said. Missy's heart sank. Helen was the family's quiet housekeeper, dutiful, emotionless, and efficient. But now, she entered the room with a new confidence, carrying a clipboard and a pacifier. "She's agreed to serve as your caregiver," Betty said. "That means she'll handle your feeding, diapering, and bedtime routines from now on. She's already been trained." "I don't need a," Missy began. Helen placed a firm finger on Missy's lips and inserted the pacifier. You need this more than you know, Helen said with a rare smile. Betty stepped back, allowing Helen to settle Missy into a soft nightgown and help her onto the bed. A lullaby began to play from the crib mobile. As Helen tucked her in and dimmed the lights, she said softly, You're not alone, Missy. This journey is hard, but it's not punishment anymore. It's transformation. You're learning to feel, to connect, to value what you once mocked. As the room darkened and the stars on the ceiling projector glimmered, Missy lay still. Her body ached with unfamiliarity. Her ego, once massive and loud, was now quiet and confused. Her mind circled around a simple, frightening truth. She no longer knew who she was. But beneath that fear, there was a tiny spark of clarity, of vulnerability, of release. She didn't understand it yet, but she could feel it. A single tear slid down her cheek as she whispered behind her pacifier, I don't want to be like him anymore. Outside the nursery, Betty stood beside Millie, listening to the baby monitor. She's starting to break, Millie said. No, Betty whispered. She's starting to heal. The next morning, sunlight slipped through the nursery curtains, catching on the delicate lace trim of Missy's baby pink nightgown. She stirred beneath the covers, feeling the unfamiliar weight of the soft fabrics against her skin. The scent of lavender powder and fresh linen filled the air. Her eyes fluttered open slowly, greeted by pastel walls, a vanity with brushes and ribbons, and a closet filled with blouses, skirts, and dresses she used to mock. This was her world now. The door creaked softly. Good morning, sunshine, Betty said as she stepped in, her smile warm but her eyes sharp with purpose. Did our little Missy sleep well? Missy sat up slowly, suppressing a groan as the silky nightgown tangled around her legs. You don't have to keep calling me that, she mumbled, her voice small. Betty set down a tray with herbal tea and a slice of fruit tart. You can earn your old name back, but names carry meaning. Right now you're Missy because you haven't yet shown me Gary deserves to return. Millie followed in, holding a fresh outfit. We're going to the salon today, sweetheart. You'll want to look your best. It's your first full makeover. Hey, makeover? Millie smiled patiently. Yes. Hair, nails, brows. Maybe a little subtle contouring? Missy's shoulders slumped. Do we have to keep going out? People stare. They do, Betty replied gently, handing her the tea. But you need to see what it feels like to be looked at differently, to not hold power in the room, to be vulnerable, not mocked, but noticed. Missy wanted to argue, but the words didn't come. Deep inside, something was shifting, something she couldn't yet name. She drank the tea in silence. The salon was bright and welcoming, with floral wallpaper and the scent of rose water drifting through the air. Betty had arranged a quiet corner appointment. Millie stayed behind, preparing a special dinner at home, leaving Betty to guide Missy. Her stylist, a kind-eyed woman named Tessa, tilted her head with curiosity as Betty introduced them. This is Missy, Betty said smoothly. She's on a little journey of self-discovery. Be gentle, Tessa smiled. We're all on a journey, honey. Let's see what we can do. Missy was seated in the chair and draped in a protective cape. Her hair was brushed, shaped, and styled with curling cream. She sat stiffly as her hands were soaked, massaged, and delicately manicured with a soft blush polish. Every touch made her skin crawl, not from discomfort, but from how deeply it unsettled her. She wasn't angry anymore, just confused. As Tessa started on her eyebrows, she said softly, You've got good bone structure. Feminine, actually. With a little balance, you'll look elegant. Don't say that, Missy muttered. I'm not trying to be fat. Tessa only smiled. Sometimes what we resist most is what teaches us the most. On the way back, they stopped at a small cafe Betty liked. She insisted Missy practice socializing while presenting fully. Dressed in a soft blouse, floral skirt, and matching sandals, Missy walked carefully beside her, hyper-aware of every step, every glance. They found a table near the back, and as Missy sipped her lemonade, a voice called out from across the room. Betty, is that you? A woman in her 40s approached, blonde, elegant, and wearing a confident smile. It was Linda, an old friend of Betty's. Betty stood, hugging her warmly. And who is this young lady? Linda asked, eyeing Missy curiously. This is my stepsister, Missy. Missy blinked. Stepsister? Linda extended a hand. It's lovely to meet you, Missy. Missy forced a smile and shook it. As Linda and Betty chatted, Missy sat quietly, watching. She noticed how they laughed softly, how they leaned in and mirrored each other's energy. There was no posturing, no need to dominate. It was comfortable. Equal. She'd never experienced that in his old life. Not even with Betty. When Linda finally left, Betty turned to Missy. You held up well. Missy looked at her carefully. You called me your stepsister? Betty shrugged. It felt easier. Besides, don't you think you're becoming something new? Not my husband, not even Gary right now, but something closer to the person inside who can feel, listen, understand. That night, Betty sat Missy down in the living room. Soft music played and the fire crackled gently in the hearth. I want to try something different tonight, Betty said. Missy tensed. What? Just a conversation, nothing more. Sit here with me. Betty pulled out a photo album. She opened it to old family pictures, ones Missy barely remembered. There was a photo of Gary, maybe 8 years old, playing dress-up with his cousin. He wore a tutu and was laughing. You used to be so open, Betty said softly. There was joy in you once, Missy looked away. You don't have to become someone you're not, Betty continued. But you also don't have to cling to a version of yourself that hurt everyone around you. I didn't mean to hurt you, Missy said, voice cracking. I didn't know how to be different. My dad always, I know, Betty interrupted. He taught you that power comes from dominance, that feelings make you weak. But I'm telling you now, true strength comes from being able to feel. Missy sat still for a long time. Who am I now? She asked quietly. Betty reached over and gently squeezed her hand. You're Missy, for now. And maybe tomorrow too, until you learn who you really are beneath all the layers. The days that followed brought small changes. Missy stopped complaining during her makeup lessons. She helped Millie fold laundry without being asked. She didn't resist as much during dressing. And one evening, she even picked out her own outfit, a pale lilac blouse and denim skirt. Helen, the caregiver hired to assist her, noticed the change. You're softer now, she said kindly while brushing Missy's hair. Not weak, softer, Missy sighed. I don't know what I'm becoming, Helen nodded. You're learning how to care. That's what matters. That's it for today. Hope you have enjoyed it. If you do, then be sure to subscribe for the next part of this story and show your support on Patreon.